Hey, Drew. Jay Cutler's in his first year with a new head coach, and I wanted to see if you could rewind back to 06 when you first arrived in New Orleans. What were the things that you thought that Sean could lend to you that could aid in your ascension?
Well, you know, it's a different offense that I was coming into from San Diego to New Orleans. You know, Sean was bringing in kind of a version of the West Coast offense. So, you know, it was new terminology and a lot of new things for me to learn, but at the same time, he really allowed me to have a lot of input, you know, into the offense and take a lot of things that I was good at, you know, and one of my strengths, concepts that I like and so forth from my previous offense and install them into this offense. And so we kind of made a hybrid, kind of made it our own. And but certainly for me, it was a lot of learning, you know, in the West Coast system and philosophies. I do remember that though very well. Everything that it seemed like we put in, there were things that fit me very well.
What were the things that allowed your relationship to click where you did have that easy back and forth pretty quickly?
It was just, you know, time together. Spent a lot of time, working at it and communicating. And, here we are going on 8 years now together. So, I don't know. It's just a lot of experience together and obviously trust and confidence, you know. He came and sought me out when I was still hurt. You know, I still had the shoulder injury. So I still had a long way to go rehab-wise when they first signed me. But I think Sean instilled a lot of confidence in me, just, you know, knowing that, hey, he believed I was going to come back from this injury and come back stronger and, take his offense to kind of the level that he envisioned.
Drew, I was curious what you learned about Aaron Cromer last year when he had to steer the ship for six games and just, you know, whether it reinforced what you already knew about him.
I'd say it just kind of reinforced the things that we already knew about him. You know, I thought he did a great job when he was the interim coach last year for those six games. Chrome came here as the running back coach back in, I believe it was 2009,
mm-hmm.
and then became, actually, I guess it would have been 2008, and then in 2009 he became the O-line coach, and honestly, my relationship with Chrome was great from day one, especially once he became the O-line coach. You know, then there was, you know, kind of more communication between quarterback and O-line coach, just in regards to game plan and how we're doing certain things. But, I'd say definitely saw him kind of, you know, grow into that role. And he was very vocal as an offensive line coach and just knew that it was only a matter of time before he got an opportunity as a coordinator. And it seemed like, you know, whatever role we put him into here, he did very well with, you know, and getting up in front of the team last year during those 6 weeks and being the interim coach, handled himself very, very well. And those were some tough times in the beginning as well. So it felt like he was always very positive, very encouraging, trying to do a lot of things that Sean would do, you know, and I think that's what we're all trying to do. But he did a great job.
And he called himself a substitute teacher, right, not an interim coach?
Yeah. I mean, he just said he was trying to be, you know, the mouthpiece for Sean, you know, what say the things that Sean would say when he was up there, and to focus on those things and just, you know, really try to just instill those, you know, those consistent messages.
When you first saw Jimmy Graham on a practice field in 2010, what intrigued you initially, and what's different about the version that we're seeing now?
It was kind of like, who is this big freak of a human being? You know, just because obviously he's got a great size and athleticism. But then, you know, you kind of see him begin to develop and the light bulbs start to come on, you know, I mean, from going from playing basketball all throughout college and really just, you know, very minimal football, you know, 1 year of football. And then, you know, kind of stepping into the NFL game, I mean, that's a different deal. You know, it takes time. I kind of witnessed that with Antonio Gates a little bit in San Diego. but I think he's handled himself very, very well in regards to just the adjustment, the transition, and continuing to focus on, you know, getting a little bit better each time out.
Drew, were you disappointed when the Saints did not re-sign Jermaine Bushrod?
I mean, of course, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed in the Saints. I mean, I know how that goes, you know. I mean, you have great players that you draft and you develop, and then, you know, they become even greater players, and then they have opportunities to go off in free agency, and, you know, somebody's willing to pay them a lot of money, you know, so I don't fault either side for that. I love Jermaine Bushrod while he was here, and he was a big part of our offensive line. He was a mainstay, you know, for 4 years. Going back to that Super Bowl, you know, year, he was his first year as a starter, and did a tremendous job, and can continue to get better each year. I loved his focus. I loved his preparation. I loved his work ethic, and, you know, he got a great opportunity in free agency to go to a place that, you know, get the contract that, you know, he deserved and all those things. So that's just the way it goes sometimes, you know.
Drew, you've gone up against your defense playing the 3-4 now. Do you think that that's kind of the best way to counteract offenses these days?
It depends on your personnel, honestly. I think there's benefits to both the 4-3 and the 3-4. But, you know, keep in mind, you know, you're running a 3-4 just in, you know, base defense, you know, and so much nowadays teams are running nickel, you know, personnel, you know, so you get three wides on the field, or you kind of get these hybrid personnel groups that a lot of people just play nickel to, you know, so in that case, everybody then goes to, you know, four down front for the most part. So, like I said, I think there's benefits to both, and a lot of it just depends on your personnel.
A lot of parallels between Gates and Graham. How would you contrast them? What makes them different?
Well, I would say, number one, I think both of them, just with their basketball backgrounds, that helps them greatly. I think for just body control, body position, with people around them, you know, kind of that going and getting the ball kind of mentality. I'd say their ability both to not only play as an inline tight end, but also to be split out and almost play like a receiver. I think they both have great strengths in that regard. You know, Jimmy's bigger. You know, Gates was 6'3", you know, about 250. Jimmy's 6'6", 265. So, Jimmy, just with his range, you know, being so tall and strong and athletic, you know, would go up and get the ball. You know, you always feel like there's a place you can throw the ball where he can get it and, you know, the other team can't. So, so I just say overall size, athleticism, and his just desire, you know, desire to be a great player and to work at it, and, you know, the ball's in the air, just feeling like, man, that's mine.
With your in-game communication with the coaching staff, what are you looking for between series when you come off, and who you communicate most with, whether it be Coach Carmichael, Sean? How does that all kind of work for you on game day?
Communicate with, the two guys on the sideline are Coach Payton and Pete Carmichael. My quarterback coach is up in the booth, you know, so he's – a lot of things that he's seeing are going straight to Peter or Sean, and then, you know, I'll hear them as well. Also with the O-line coach from time to time with just what's happening up front. There's a lot of communication in between series.
What's the biggest thing you hope to take away when you're between series and you're you know, just kind of readjusting to what just happened?
Well, exactly. You're kind of running through the pass pictures and you're looking at how they played, you know, your formations and your personnel groups and, you know, different things, and just trying to kind of play the series over in your mind and see if there's anything that you can learn or pick up from it.
What's your greatest appreciation for what Sean does in terms of sort of setting things up early and feeling things out and being able to use that to strategize with his play calling?
Well, you know, obviously we always have a very defined plan going into every game. And then, you know, just our ability to adjust, you know, on the run, because inevitably we see things that, you know, maybe we didn't game plan for, or we just know a team's going to have a plan for us. And you get sometimes, you know, see that until you get in the game, and then you have to make adjustments on the run. So I think just Sean's ability to make adjustments. And also just, you know, we're very much on the same page. I feel like a lot of times we see the same things, you know, so I can anticipate the calls that are coming, and that's why we communicate so much throughout the week too, is, you know, we talk about certain plays, when and where we want to call them, you know, how we're going to get guys involved, you know, who we're trying to attack, you know, just all those things.
I'll give you one more. Did with Cromer, it seemed like he kind of stayed himself when he was the interim coach rather than kind of trying to act different than he had before. Am I right on that?
No, absolutely. He was our offensive line coach, you know, but he was also our interim head coach, you know. So what did that entail? You know, I mean, he would get up and address the team, you know, prior to the day, you know, just to kind of start the day and, you know, kind of do what we would normally do, you know, and kind of run him through the other defense's personnel and or the other team's personnel and kind of their profile. And then, you know, every day, you know, obviously working on a different situation. It's base, and then the next day it's third down, and the next day it's red zone. And so you kind of run through it. But he was always, you know, yeah, I mean, it didn't change. In other words, like, didn't try to – I mean, he had added responsibility, you know, so he had to – he was obviously doing something that he had not done in the past, but I feel like he did a very good job with it, you know. And, you know, he was just trying to communicate the same messages that he knew if Sean would want communicated, but in, you know, in the way, in his way.
Anything else?
Thanks, Drew. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I guess. Thanks.
Yeah.